Right now, new and returning vidIQ customers can buy 1 month of vidIQ and get the second month free. This offer is going on until July 31st and can be used towards a purchase of either a pro or boost level account. All you have to do is visit vidIQ.com/bonus. If you've been looking to unlock our full suite of tools, now is a great time. You have until July 31st, vidIQ.com/bonus.
Welcome to Tube Talk, the show dedicated to helping you become a better video creator so you can get more views, subscribers, and build your audience. Brought to you by vidIQ. Download for free at vidIQ.com.
It is time once again for the Tube Talk podcast. I'm Dan Carson, joined as always by Mr. Rob Wilson.
Hello, Dan Carson. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am awesome. It is summer. The weather is lovely. Everybody's off YouTube right now, which is why everybody's view counts are a little bit down. But I'm all right with that. I can take the highs and lows of being a creator. Let's just enjoy the sunshine. Everyone can get out. And then when it gets back to September, October, when the rain comes and it gets a little cooler and everyone goes back to YouTube and starts searching for how to get 1,000 subscribers, how to grow your channel, I will be a happy creator. But until then, let's all relax. Unless, of course, you live in Argentina, South Africa, Australia, where it is indeed your winter right now, then you need to get on YouTube and start helping prop up our views.
I like that PSA. I'm gonna leave that in.
Did you think I was going to go off on such a monologue there?
No, I didn't. I wasn't expecting that. You could have just said good. that would have worked.
It's too boring. I'm looking for the 5-star reviews and that type of insight, and personal reflections is what's gonna get us a hint, someone give us a 5-star review.
It's true. We do love it when we get our 5-star reviews. Feel free to leave those, especially if you're an Apple listener, or whatever service you listen on that allows you to review podcasts. Feel free, it really helps us out. So we do have an awesome guest today. We're going a bit back to basics in a little while. We're going to be talking about a lot of getting your first 1,000 subscribers, but also going in and discussing all kinds of aspects of YouTube as well, because the person we're talking to today runs their own business through YouTube. So it'll be a nice, hearty episode, I think. But before we get into that, we like to talk a little bit about YouTube news and things going on. And YouTube is launching a new feature that only some people have right now. Hopefully everyone gets it soon, called Super Thanks. Rob, do you want to tell us about Super Thanks?
I do indeed want to talk about Super Thanks, Dan, because as you say, it's currently rolling out. And the really weird thing is that I asked Jeff, I asked Travis, like, do you have Super Thanks yet on your channel? You all said no. I checked on my 3-year-old mothball channel, which I haven't done anything with for ages, and I do have Super Thanks on that channel, which is brilliant, but a bit of a waste since I don't publish any videos. But what it essentially is the equivalent of Super Chats and stickies on live stream. So when you're watching a live stream, you can pay a certain amount of money to post a comment that's highlighted in the live stream chat, and maybe add some animated emojis as well. So what Super Thanks does is take this concept of a paid digital good to video on demand. So you might be watching a video, and underneath that video where the like, dislike, and share buttons are, you might now see a thanks button. And this allows you to directly, I guess, donate or contribute a set amount to the creator. And that will do two things for the super thanker, that's what I'm calling them. It will add a comment with the amount donated, and the comment says, thanks. You can't edit it right now, which seems a bit of a missed opportunity. Hopefully YouTube will fix that. Yeah. And also an animation will appear on screen for the super thanker as they're making that donation. So that is it in a nutshell. I think you can do donations of, what was it? For me, I think it was $2, $5, $10, and $50. But I think that may vary from country to country in terms of currency. And also, I think it's now rolling out to 68 countries. Or I might have got my number not quite right, but I know that it's not rolling out everywhere just yet. And I assume that YouTube are going to roll this out on a gradual basis. So I don't think there's any certain requirements other than you need to be in a YouTube partner program to get it. And this doesn't extend to shorts, in that if you're in a shorts player, you don't see the super thanks button. But if you watch a short as a regular video, then you'll still see that super thanks button. As always, the moment I start to talk about YouTube Shorts, it gets a little more complicated.
A platform within a platform will do that. So what I like about this is that we've had Super Chats for a while, and anybody streaming knows, you know, all about those if you've monetized your channel. And then that feature came about, I think, basically to compete with Twitch. They have something called Bits, and people can purchase these and give them to their favorite creators and as a way to support them. So YouTube having this video platform, you know, and a live streaming platform, it's just now one more way for creators to make money that sets them apart from the competition, which I'm very excited about. What I didn't know is that you couldn't edit the message, because in a super chat, the whole point of it is to get your message highlighted, and you can type whatever you want and then donate some money and say, hey, just wanted to say love your content, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that it just literally says thanks in the comment section, it's like, well, let them type a comment. Let them highlight something.
As far as I'm aware, it doesn't prioritize the super thanks at the top of the comments either. So I feel as if this brings a completely different context to the intent of a super thanker. I think when it comes to a super chat, not only do you want to obviously donate something to the creator, but you want to grab a bit of attention with that comment, you know, get it right to the top. Whereas with a super thanker, I think you're literally wanting to make a donation to the creator without necessarily that expectation of your comment being prominent in any place. I guess the reason that they're not doing that, now that this has just come to me, is that what you could effectively do is a bit of almost guerrilla marketing. You could start to put these comments on videos that have got billions of views, and then you know that that chat is going to be prioritized at the top. Whereas in, I guess, live stream chat, it's a little more in the moment. It's not as permanent. So maybe that's one reason why YouTube have decided not to prioritize super chats. There was something else that came into my head as well. Yeah, I don't think you can anonymize the comment as well. So if you wanted to donate a super chat, you have to be, I guess, mentioned in the comments. Unless maybe you can delete the comment once it's posted. I don't know. I haven't thought of that either. I have a few more thoughts about this. As you say, it's brilliant that now YouTube have introduced another form of earning revenue, especially for video on demand content, which up until now, at least through YouTube, has relied solely on AdSense, which is always very unreliable. Now there's this digital tip jar, which just increases the opportunity for earning revenue. It retroactively is applied to all of your videos as well. So it's not like you turn it on and then from every video going forward, you have that button. It's on everything on your channel. I would like a bit more control where you can maybe turn it off some videos. You know, there might be community videos, or you might be doing a charity drive and you don't necessarily want to dilute that message by having that super thanks button on certain videos. But here's the big thing for me, and this is just a personal opinion at this point. When YouTube introduced this in beta, it was called viewer applause.
Yep.
And when somebody was going to make the donation, I remember the text saying something along the lines of the creator will earn a portion of this amount. And that's because, like everything else on YouTube, there is a revenue split. And as far as I'm aware, the revenue split, like Super Chats and Stickies, is 70-30. So the creator gets 70%, YouTube gets over 30%. But now, as the wording is, and as you go through the workflow, it's not open and transparent that if I say want to donate $10 to you, Dan, on your channel, you will actually only get $7 of that and $3 will go to YouTube. And it's not mentioned anywhere. So I haven't necessarily got a problem with the fact that there is a revenue split, because I think YouTube needs to make this financially viable. But I think it should be made clear to the super thanker that there is, I guess, this thanks tax. You know, if you're gonna support this creator, well, you've also got to support us a little bit at the same time. And then the revenue split, I mean, you know, everybody's going to say the revenue split should be 100% the creator or 1% to YouTube, 99% to the creator. I think a fair amount here, given I think the intent of the super thanker is to just tip this creator, should be 85%, 15%. But I think that's very much open to interpretation. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
No, I completely agree. Coming from like just looking at what this is modeled on, and that's like Twitch and Facebook. These are live streaming platforms that have implemented this first, and they've always taken a cut, you know. But they, with Bits, they take it off of. Well, I don't know the right term here, so I'm not going to try to use it. But they basically take it before the streamer realizes it. So what happens is, if you want to give somebody $5 on Twitch, first you got to buy the Bits for more than $5. Twitch takes their cut, and then you still have the $5 to give to the streamer. And it sounds like what you're saying is YouTube's not doing it that way. You're not buying the thanks and then giving it to the broadcaster. You're literally giving them $10, and then YouTube just takes part of it.
Yeah, I think that will appear in like the revenue in the analytics at the other end. So it may look on the comments that somebody has donated $50. But in actuality, the creator at the other end, looking at their revenue income, will see, I don't know what the maths is here, $40. No, what would it be? 30%? I don't know, you know, $37.50. Someone could correct my maths in an email.
The other thing I say, and I'm trying not to sit too long on the competition thing, but really this is what it comes down to. On Twitch, if you're an affiliate, which is basically the equivalent of being a YouTube partner, there's a Twitch partner, and it gets complicated, but when you start out getting monetized on Twitch, there's a 50-50 split on, not on the Bits, but on the subscriptions, paid subscriptions. YouTube has always been very generous with their 30-70 or 70-30 split. So the creator always gets more. And I think Facebook is also 70-30. So it's not exactly apples to apples when you compare these things, but all of this leads to, if you are a creator, you now have another way to make money from your content. Whether you're using YouTube only for video and streaming on Twitch, or using YouTube for everything, and now, you know, you've only been able to monetize live streams in this way in the past, it's all good things. And I hope you're wrong about YouTube being transparent with the person giving the thanks. There should be a disclaimer somewhere that says, by the way, we're going to take a little bit of that because running YouTube costs us money too.
It's an easy fix, and I apologize if I'm misinterpreting how this workflow currently is. And as you say, I want to wrap up all of the negativity in a little ball and throw it in the bin and say, you are right. This is another way to make money that didn't exist before. And because it's seamlessly integrated into YouTube and it makes it very easy for people to send a super thanks, you know, that's a real opportunity to make some more income. I know we're going over here, Dan, but I was just thinking of some ideas of like how people may actually start to leverage this. And the two thoughts I had were, you know, how in the past people have used metrics to try and create engagement and future ideas. As if you say, if we hit 500 likes on this video, then I'll do a full room tour or something like
that.
Yeah. I'm wondering if we're going to start making that a monetizable thing. I was thinking like, oh, Mr. Beast could almost say, we want to do this project, but we need $2 million to do it. So hit that super thanks button. I know it's an extreme example, but you know, people can actually almost start to create crowdfunding from one video in order to finance the following video. Or you just start monetizing super chats and you say, hey, if you want a shout out in my next video, drop us a $5 super like and you'll appear on the screen like this. So, you know, whether that's right or wrong, I feel as if some really savvy creators are going to really start leveraging this for another significant income revenue stream.
For live streams, I used to let, because I would live stream Minecraft and I would let things spawn upon a super chat coming in. So if a super chat came in, something in the game would happen. Now, you're not live when this comes in, super thanks, so you don't have that. But yes, I've been thinking along the same lines of like, well, how could a creator still incentivize this, you know, and give back to the audience who is leaving that thanks. And I love those two ideas. I think that's really smart. And yeah, it will be very interesting to see where that goes. But speaking of making money on YouTube, today's guest, if you listen to this podcast, they're going to set you up for some success because that's what it's all about. They run their business trying to help others start their own YouTube businesses. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Nice segue, Dan. Nice segue. And I'm going to ruin it now by saying, everyone quickly give us a five-star review and send us an email so we can read it out. Let's go to Alan.
I want to welcome Alan Spicer. Welcome back. Thank you so much for being here.
That's okay. Hello. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Tell everybody about who you are and what you do on YouTube.
Okay. I'm Alan Spicer. I've been on YouTube for about 8-9 years. I'm a YouTube consultant. I'm a blogger. I'm a cryptocurrency fan, and I make videos to educate people, entertain people, or just generally rant about what my life's about. Overall, I want to help grow your YouTube channel with you, or on my other channel, share with you a hobby as I learn going forward how to either make money or lose money in the crypto markets. But share that during the experience, because documenting is a good way of creating content, as well as learning and kind of getting your skin in the game at the same time.
I can definitely relate to that. So how long have you been on YouTube?
It's right about 8-9 years now. I initially started with some kind of funny news stuff. Yeah, about 8-9 years back. It was a combination of, I was working for a web design company and I needed to learn this newfangled video thing to try and teach it to my clients. You know, how to sort out metadata, have a look at titles, descriptions, tags, what plugins that you must go out there to install. And over time, the idea of making videos got addictive. And I learned how to do the SEO, but I also learned that there was direct feedback. I could be weird. I could be funny. I could look at the news. I could get reactions. I could build a community. And once that started, it's hard to walk away from. Over time, I built a movie club. I had a main channel that had a 40,000-odd subscribers at the time that it just wasn't monetizable friendly. And I realized that if I was going to make a business out of this, I would have to put down my very loyal old Yella and convert into the business that was my consulting, my consulting channel. So to kind of cut off one arm to move forward. But that then led into the consulting business that I do today. I directly consult with people to grow their YouTube channel, to have a look at their social media accounts, to grow a brand, to understand how they can take either their career or a spark, a hobby, a passion, and turn it into something that they can create some form of income from. And then going forward, I then started creating my own passion products to go alongside that, to prove that I can take a topic out of the blue and grow a YouTube channel using the best practices that I already teach or I've learned from other channels and other educators out there already.
How hard was it to take a channel that you'd grown to 40, 50,000 subscribers and essentially walk away from it?
It was, I'll be brutally honest. It ruined my mental health for around about 3 years.
Oh, wow.
It was 5 years of very hard work. And I very quickly realized that if I didn't pivot into the new generation of digital content rather than the old generation of digital content, then I would my business would die. I was doing web development at the time. And initially, web development was magic. It was fairy dust. And everyone was like, oh, hire one of those technical wizards to throw up a website. But then over time, you had Wix and GoDaddy and WordPress and drag and drop Wix sites. And you very quickly realized that people aren't going to pay £2,000, £3,000, £4,000 for a website that you truly need. And nobody buys websites for Christmas. Here you go, Jimmy. I've bought you an e-commerce website. It's just not going to happen. So the feast or famine roller coaster of web development needed to evolve. And I was able to juggle some of my web development clients whilst pouring my time into the YouTube consultancy business. Went out there and learnt to be YouTube certified, drilled in as much knowledge as possible. Every year I like to learn a new skill. And I'm very quick and very good at learning new skills. But this one I was able to pour 3-4 years of my web development knowledge into my head along with this video concept and go from there. So I had to go through the upsetting part of understanding that I needed to step back 2 or 3 steps to move forward. Now, that was very luckily a good decision because the consultancy business was able to start funding itself after just 3,000 subscribers using affiliate links, using direct consultancy, using retainers. And then over time, that channel, which is now 4 years in the making, which is the YouTube/Alan Spicer channel, has now got in itself nearly 38,000 subscribers, over 5 million views, has directly worked alongside yourself at vidIQ. And if it wasn't for me making that very harsh, hard decision 3-4 years ago, I wouldn't be in the position I am today where I can support my family, an ever increasingly growing family. I've got 2 kids at home, including a now 6-month-old son. But it was something that needed to be done, and I'm pleased and proud that it's got to where it has done already today.
This episode of Tube Talk is brought to you by the vidIQ mobile app. You can download it for free on the Android or iOS app stores. And it's here to help you do things like keep track of your competition, research your next video idea, optimize videos you've already posted, and more, all on the go. This is the perfect app to have literally in your back pocket while you're out and about and you find yourself with a few free extra minutes. Having the opportunity to sit down and optimize your latest video or research ideas for your upcoming video can be a game changer and save you a bunch of time as you work to create more YouTube content. Again, you can download the vidIQ mobile app for free on Android or iOS. Just search for vidIQ.
Alan, you briefly mentioned YouTube certification or YouTube certified. What is that? And is it useful for any creator to have, or is it something maybe a little more specialized?
It's still publicly accessible. The YouTube certification has now been retired, but the Academy, the YouTube Academy program, allows you to go through and have a look at the documentation. There's 3 qualifications. It's monetization, it's content ID, and it's growth, if I remember correctly. You needed all 3 of them to become individually qualified, or you could have all 3 and dedicate it to a company, and then the company could be YouTube certified. I feel that if you're looking through it, you will learn a lot about the basis of YouTube. If you're serious about YouTube, about every fine detail, that it will teach you the fine details. Now, do you need it to start a YouTube channel? No. Do you need it to run a YouTube channel? No. Do you need it to be successful? No. But I'm one of those people that if I'm going to do something, I make sure that I do it properly. I learn it properly. I ingest everything I can, even outlying information that I can then twist into or understand why it's not this and why it is that. The certification for me helped me establish a reputation when it existed, and it leans on trust, really. So many people out there can claim to be anything. I could all of a sudden decide to be a life coach tomorrow, and I could spout about everything that I've been through in my life. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm qualified. That doesn't necessarily mean that I've got the research and the knowledge behind it. Now, that's why if you're going to learn from someone, you learn from someone that is doing it, has done it, and is or educated in it. The reason for that is that then you know that you're getting the best knowledge from it. Now, if you want to follow someone, that's perfectly fine. On my second channel, I flat out tell people I'm a crypto rookie. I know nothing. This is me documenting what I do. You can follow me with my journey, my successes and my failures, right? And you can come along with the ride. But that's not where I would sell advice, because I don't feel comfortable enough to sell advice as a rookie, right? So if you're in your business educated in the thing that you are doing, then it kind of lends a little bit of respect, a little bit of understanding. Plus other people in the industry that has also done that qualification may appreciate the knowledge that you may have alongside it. So do you need it to be successful? No. Could it be helpful? Yes, it's free to do, right? But you don't necessarily need it. Just learn the basics, learn the best practices, and that will help carry your channel forward.
Speaking of the basics, one of the things we discussed before starting to record today was that we wanted to talk about just that, starting out on YouTube. And I want to kick that off by asking you, what were some of the things, and maybe you can pull this from when you started your current YouTube channel, your Alan Spicer channel, what were some of the things you were glad you knew, having kind of already been through this once before?
Okay. My biggest advantage when I started the Alan Spicer channel is I learned immediately niche, focus is key. The original channel that did quite well was scattershot. Movie reviews, funny rants, food tastings, me being drenched for the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, like funny, weird songs, just random crap, right? And it worked. But it worked by the end of that channel, because when I first started, it was weird and random. And by the end, I'd understood, right, if I just make funny news, if I go out and find a specific source, if I record up-to-date trending news of stuff that's happened in the last 2 to 3 days and that's in a similar niche, people then come back for that pattern. Okay, so in that case, it was relatable, funny news. Anything that you find in the Metro, anything that you find on, I don't know, joe.com or where it happens to be on the internet, because I'm old and I don't understand where those things come from these days. So I was taking that knowledge of understanding that laser focus grows better, and then I moved it to the consultancy channel. So what I did is I understood, if I can teach YouTube from a position of strength, understanding that I've done web development for 4 or 5 years prior, that I understand SEO, I understand search engine optimization, and now I'm YouTube certified. If I can teach those things to people, people then know that I'm a Netflix of answers for that specific field. Continuing to pile on top of the idea is, I'm teaching you, a YouTuber, YouTube. Okay. Yes, every now and then I'll touch upon how to grow a YouTube channel using Facebook, but the core backbone was growing something in the YouTube field, how to make money from YouTube, how to grow on YouTube, how to push your business via YouTube. And because I had that backbone, I was able to go forward, getting people to know me as the person that answers their question. I then made sure that I lent on the thing that I did very, very well, and that is search. For a very, very long time, I was cranking out 3 tutorials each and every week that specifically answered questions that people are searching for. How to add end screens, how to title a video, how to do a perfect thumbnail, how to write descriptions, how to do tags, those kind of things. Things that I would have asked, or I've been asked by my clients over the time, now I can answer it in a video, and then YouTube can find it in the algorithm. People watch till they get their answer. It's a good retention rate. They engage properly. It can then possibly get embedded as a decent search result, or even on Google under specific clips. And then I mainly grow through evergreen searched content via either YouTube search or Google. And then I triple down in the long run with my blogs as I continue to build out this giant spider web. But the core thing is niche, focus, continue to educate in that funnel until we get bigger and bigger at the top. And then you've got a little bit more license to experiment just a little bit, step outside, be a little bit more human, a little bit more funny. Every now and then put up a video ranting that someone's blown up your laptop, that kind of thing. Something unique outside your funnel, because they're there for you at that point.
That's something you said. It's really, really important to note that your original channel, which you still managed to grow to quite a significant audience, quite a significant size, you, like you said yourself, you kind of did it scattershot. You know, you're just kind of making stuff, and there's movie reviews, but, you know, yeah, also I'm going to try this new food, come check it out. I have a feeling with folks listening out there that may resonate with them too. Like, that's kind of how I'm doing it. Like, I have my channel, I think it's about this, but sometimes I turn a corner and just do something totally random. For anybody out there resistant to this idea that, you know, I have to niche down more, you know, what would you tell them? Like, if a client was coming to you and saying, I have this channel, here's what it's doing, and you saw some promise, but you could tell, like, uh-oh, you know, you're not quite focused. What would be your advice?
It would be down to intent. I can either be brutal and say, if you want sales for your plumbing company, Jeff, then you eating hot dogs, right, isn't going to help. You whacking your hot dogs on a golf course isn't going to help. But if you're talking about your specific plumbing needs or your water needs, or the why specifically frequently asked questions of why does standing water smell, and that's within your field. Okay, so if I'm going to be brutal, fine, Jeff, whack your hot dogs, but you're going to get the wrong audience.
Wait, is this a real client of yours?
Yeah, I'm searching right now on YouTube, hitting hot dogs on a golf course, and I'm seeing what comes up.
There is one client that I subject to NDAs and stuff. I'll touch upon very carefully. But basically, it's a fencing company that does quite well now. And as long you can still be educational and funny, okay? They were making content that was how to this and how to that, which was great, right? But then they made a video which was all about a specific building material, okay? And if you've seen the video, you probably even know what the video happens to be. A specific building material over time, and it's a nice time-lapse thing, and it's entertaining. It's this versus that, okay? But it still was within their focus of them telling us how to put up that fence, how to build that fence, what specific materials to use, okay? And because that was still within their focus and entertaining, not only did it answer the questions of their clients' needs, but that specific video went viral, okay? Because it was interesting to not only their base, but generally people that's go, oh, what's that? That's weird. That's cool. Okay. So if you're going to be scattershot, understand that being scattershot runs the risk of alienating your channel. It either won't take off because the YouTube algorithm doesn't know. So he does YouTube tutorials and eating contests and strokes hamsters. So the hamster video goes viral and it tries to put it in front of YouTube tutorial people, and they're like, what?
Yeah, where's the Venn YouTube diagram tutorial for growing a YouTube channel and growing hamsters? I'm wondering how big that is.
Well, that's it. Or if, unless you've got some kind of animated host. But the problem there happens to be, right, that the virtual YouTubers are a thing. You never know.
Right. Yeah.
Furry virtual YouTube educators. None of us, let's be honest, none of us are there, right? If anything, people are going the opposite way around. We've got, you know, we've got Nick Nimmin, we've got Rob Wilson. There's a kind of hair motif going along that way, right? And there's Dean Nimmin, right? There's just this. So you never know. Virtual YouTube educators could be the next way to go. But The problem happens to be is that if you want to play into the YouTube algorithm, you need to lean into it. Now, if you want to be more scattershot, you need to understand that that will either hamper your growth or it will make a decision for you in the long run. And you've got a choice. You either steer into that choice and grow further or not grow into that. And in 3-4 months' time, once that pump of traffic drops off, you've missed that rocket ship and you'll be going down to the baseline of YouTube trying to find videos for gerbil YouTubers and whatever it happens to be. Okay. So I would say focus is the key. Truly think of one thing in your heart, the thing that you can't stop talking about, right? The thing that you're going to have masks behind you during a YouTube live stream, right? Of Marvel characters or stormtroopers, or you get 500,000 subscribers and you just have to make a wrestling belt, right? Something that you can't help but talk about for hours and hours and hours on end. That's your thing. There's someone out there that will listen to that. There's thousands of people out there that will listen to that because you're passionate about that thing. And if you're passionate about that thing, but not the four other things that on your channel that you're only doing because, well, I heard me talking about drama helps grow my channel, you're not going to put the passion into it as much, right? So either love it or understand where it needs to go. So if you're a business, the intent, what is your intent? What are you trying to get? Are you getting customers? Are you trying to prove that you're the expert? I've got 700 videos on my channel. I'm not there to sell a YouTube course. What I'm trying to do is help you grow a YouTube channel, maybe trust me, and then you ring me up and that's how I make my money, right? Or you use the affiliate links down below to install vidIQ at vidIQ.com/Alan Spicer, right? In which it's a fantastic SEO tool. You get more subscribers. You can maximize your ability to optimize your videos. You get daily video ideas that you can lean into, okay? Your intent is what you're looking for. Grow your business or talk about your passion that you love. That's how you focus. That's how you'll grow a brand and grow your YouTube channel.
Dan, I think I may have found Alan's client here. A channel called Blue Jedi 24, 9 years ago, made a video titled Spectator Froze Hot Dog at Tiger Woods, actual video. So I think we found it there. A 250,000 views, but they haven't made any videos since. So
got to follow up on that.
Yeah. Maybe something to do with cars and Tiger Woods. I don't know.
Speaking of that, I'm going to tease in probably a couple weeks from now, we're going to have a guest on who is right now today experiencing this, where they've had a viral hit and they are doing everything they can to capitalize on it. That's all I'm going to say for now. But yes, that is everything you just said, Alan, about how if you're just kind of waffling about on your channel, there's a really good chance that your channel decides for you. And then it's up to you to capitalize on that momentum if you want. And that's where the passion comes in. I'm going to try not to go on a rant right now, but I have a lot of conversations with gaming channels out there. And it's always like, but I like playing multiple games on my channel. It's like, great. I like lots of games too, but generally speaking, there's one that I'm like really good at that I feel like I can actually make a channel about. And the rest of them are for me. I get to enjoy those in my off time. If you feel really strongly, maybe make a second channel, but I would encourage you to narrow it down. Play one of those games, focus on it, you know, and every time I always see positive results. Every time somebody finally decides, I'm just going to take this weirdo's advice. You know, I don't know if he knows what he's talking about, but I'm just going to try it. He must be wrong. Oh, crud. Nope. It's working. So you've created a whole business with everything you're doing. This is a full-time job for you. I don't want you to name anyone specifically, but can you talk a little bit more about like some success stories that you've had with clients, maybe vaguely speaking, just things that have, you know, they started here, now they're here. I think just for people to kind of understand how you can turn your channel around, if it's something you're kind of struggling with, I need to grow. Will even contact anyone help? Will making the changes I always hear about help? You know, how fast can people turn it around?
Sure. There's one person that's very, very dear to my heart. They initially started off as a client, and she's very much a friend that's kind of married into the vidIQ family recently. Now, when I initially came across this lady, I was solely reaching out to help edit her YouTube videos. She had around about 200 subscribers. She was currently editing her video with a university student. Her videos were poor, misaligned, wonky, sound was terrible, right? But I saw the possibility there because she had a passion for the message that she wished to deliver. And she was able to do the very most important thing, the hardest thing, hit the record button and talk, okay? So many people, including myself, sit there umming and ahhing about, should I start? How do I start? When do I start? What do I talk about? When do I edit? Yeah, but that doesn't look right, okay? But she was able to press record, get online, and put the videos up there. Now, she was building her business and her brand. I was able to go in, edit her videos better than the university student. Sorry, Mr. University Student. I take
your job. They're just learning.
You know, and through little things, making sure that you're aligned properly, making sure that you're in a good pattern, maybe having a look at lighting, right? Making sure that the sound's okay. Things like that really make a difference. Now, I've known that lady on and off for 5 years now, and she's coming up to 30,000 subscribers herself, just past 3 million subscribers. She has her own book. She has a very successful podcast. And she continues to push her career forward. She's speaking at live events. And it's that kind of commitment that I truly love, being able to see and make people understand that Rome wasn't built in a day. Now, her specific niche as well is very business orientated. Now, that's not sexy. That's not the fast-growing niches. Like, the people that are on YouTube channels that have educational channels really do grind. Now, not every YouTube educational channel can knock on 1 million subscribers, right? Like here at vidIQ, right? It takes time, and it takes time to grow, including one of my favorite mentors online over time called Roberto Blake. Right, he's been on the platform for a very, very long time, and he continues to make vast amounts of money. Right, but it's all about educating people and building those connections. So I was able to help this lady grow her brand from 200 subscribers to over 30,000 subscribers, help her launch a book, help her sort out her blog, help her build a brand, help her get interacted with by large international companies and sponsorships. And that's the kind of impact that you can have. Now, there's a few other people that I have knocking around on retainers and stuff like that. But the core thing I teach people is that if you are truly, truly dedicated to the message that you're giving, it doesn't matter what your goal is. If you want to make money, that's fine. Okay. If you want to build leads, that's fine. If you want to push to affiliate income, that's also fine. If you want to tell your story, that's fine. None of that is grotty, right? An end goal is an end goal. Fame, views, a giant hamster collection, whatever you want, okay? Whatever your goal happens to be, that's perfectly fine, right? But as long as you deliver the message and value to the audience first, then they will keep coming back. If I'm sat here being selfish, telling you what I want from you, taking from you, then why would you want to come back to me? But if I continue to give to you, or anyone gives to your audience slowly builds up an element of debt. I'm a very big fan of a guy called Gary Vaynerchuk. It's only taken me X amount of minutes through this podcast to get to that name. And anyone that knows me, I throw him about all the time, right? At the end of the day, the reason why Gary Vaynerchuk does so well is he just gives and gives and gives to the point where you feel so guilty that you have to buy his shoes or his course or his wine, right? Because you've been filled with so much knowledge and an outlook on life that fills you up, and you can't help but be an advocate for him and his brand, right? And that's what I try to do with my own clients, make them understand that it's them giving value that matters. And if I can do that to them as well, then over time, not only do they hopefully refer me to others, but they can grow over time as well.
So it's not like Joey and Friends when he's conducting the wedding ceremony and it's about giving and receiving and receiving and giving. It's all about giving and giving and giving and giving. I'm only saying that because of recent events in my own life that make that particular phrase very poignant right now.
So, and I'm not allowed to say inappropriate things on
we'd appreciate it.
On live recording.
If you did.
Yeah. Everyone's seen Friends, right? They remember that scene. There's the thing. There's nothing wrong with that.
Rob, we're the boomers now. We are the boomers now. I'm closer to 40 than I am 30. And when I was 30, Friends had still been off TV for 15 years.
Wow. Yes. That show, it's out there. I think they've done all right. One of the big things about reaching 1,000 subscribers is obviously monetization. We've talked a lot about monetization. I talked a lot about 1,000 subscribers. We talked a lot about making money. We haven't specifically addressed monetization, though. For anybody here who's getting ready to hit 1,000 subscribers, Alan, what can they expect? How rich did they just become because they hit monetization?
So the Lambo pulled up, and when they dragged the money bag out of the yes. boot, it was fridge changing. Like I could buy milk. Oh, it was amazing. No, 1,000 subscribers does not make you rich. 1,000 active loyal viewers that interact with your content, however, will.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way of putting it. I love that. Mm-hmm.
But you won't necessarily get 1,000 active members of your community from your first 1,000 subscribers. Okay. It's all down to how you interact with those people. It's those 1,000 people that will share your content, comment on your content, be zealots for you and what you do. Okay. And that's for any business. If I had 1,000 people that regularly and loyally bought websites from me in my old business, then I would be rolling in hamsters, right? But I'm not. So it's all down to how loyal your fan base happens to be, because there are people out there with millions of subscribers and hundreds of views per video. Okay. It's not the number, it's the quality that counts. Now, at 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of watch time, you won't make much from YouTube unless your videos continue to go viral. Okay. But before 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of watch time, there is nothing stopping you building that loyalty out of your first 400, 500, 600 subscribers. And then if you're really, really dedicated to, maybe you're fantastic at playing Destiny, right? And you want to do weekend carries where you do like the PvP. You can make money through that and you don't even have 1,000 subscribers. Okay. Or you could be really, really fantastically good at drawing portraits. Okay. And you can turn people into superheroes and you can do speed drawing. And then maybe you can sell those things on Etsy. You don't need 1,000 subscribers and you don't need 4,000 hours of watch time to make money from your YouTube channel. You just need to deliver value and understand the product that you are able to offer them that they might want to pay you for in return.
You can also use things like Patreon and, you know, there are services outside of YouTube. Would you necessarily recommend that? I do notice there's a lot of channels out there who try to get on that early. Personally, I always get a little bit hesitant to recommend that myself just because I feel like for certain channels, now other people might be different. They can divide these things into different buckets in their minds. But for certain channels, I feel like they get to the money part of the opportunity of YouTube, you know, and they're like, great, I'm going to set all that stuff up. And they lose focus on building that audience, you know, that would have to join the Patreon.
Yeah, it's, unfortunately, it's kind of baked into the ethos of YouTube. So that so many, there's two divides. Oh, quick, make a channel, money, 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 money. And they don't understand that, yeah, people make money on YouTube, but there's 400 miles of climbing before you reach the top of that mountain, okay? There's a lot of hard work to get to where it happens to be, right? Otherwise, you might as well just be standing in a high street trying to throw T-shirts at people, okay? You've got people around you looking at you, but that doesn't mean that they're committed to buying from you. Setting up Patreons, fine, but it's all once again down to dedication. Now, my YouTube channel, my Alan Spicer YouTube channel, it's very much a utility channel. You have a question, I give you an answer, you're gone. You're never coming back for that video again, because once you've learned how to tie a tie or add an end screen or write a title, it's in your head. You won't need to come back and learn that again. So my subscribers, the ones that stick around, are fairly loyal. But most of mine don't, because they've got their answer and they're gone. So me starting a Patreon wouldn't necessarily work for me unless in my Patreon I was offering to the people that signed up weekly live streams or weekly one-on-one audits or some kind of something unique. Now, a good example of this is Andre Jick, who is a financial YouTuber, has his dividend portfolio spreadsheet because he earns income through monthly dividends through his investments. And in that spreadsheet, it shows you what shares he's got, when they annualize, when they will pay, how much they pay, when the next dividend payout, whatever it needs to be. Okay. In there, that gives you valuable information that you can't put in a YouTube video. You can download the spreadsheet. It's something tangible. Okay. But if you're just randomly scattershotting videos in which 1 week you've got five up and then 2 months later you've got one up, and If you can't be committed to YouTube, they won't be committed to you. If you can't offer them value, they won't be valuable for you in return, right? So if you are willing to be committed, like Philip DeFranco is a very good example. when he left, I think it was Studio 31, he asked for funding of DeFranco Nation. And within that, that funding now helps run his company, employ staff, build out the network that's going to be there in time, right? And people understand the value within that. They get valuable, personal, and unique videos for them and opportunities for them, discounts for them, okay? So if you're going to do crowdfunding, you have to think of even more than your YouTube channel, how much you can give them first. It's not a money grab. It's an opportunity to add more value to the people that are willing to support you. So don't get greedy, get smart, and offer them value.
Alan, for the benefit of a podcast, we've just done a poll here for the people who are listening on a live stream. I think the number is 86% of people watching, listening, are under 1,000 subscribers. But, you know, half of them are actually under 100 subscribers. So in your experience, what do you think the biggest pain point, struggle, obstacle is for people who are under 100 subscribers? And then the same question for people under 1,000 subscribers.
I find under 100, it's down to learning the art. Do you understand the audience behind your channel? What are they coming to you for? Is it you? Is it the news? Is it the skill? Okay. Have a look at the videos that did well, and that will tell you those. Now, you also may be under 100 subscribers because you haven't done maybe even 100 videos. I honestly believe that the more videos you have, the larger your spiderweb happens to be. In many ways. One, it tells you what videos will do well and you can double down on those, but it also broadens out how much content YouTube then can offer and suggest to other people that then bring them into you. It gives you the opportunity to learn how to make videos, to present yourself, to understand your brand, to understand how to edit your videos. Now, yes, there may be some people out there that have 100 on less than 100 subscribers and has 4,000 videos. But what's the quality of those 4,000 videos? Are they all Let's Plays that you've just sat there and not really put any thought and effort into it, and they're just watching a Twitch stream that you did 3 weeks ago? How is that value? Could you have turned that four-hour Twitch stream into 10 videos teaching how to mine things in Minecraft or how to farm things or a YouTube short that may blow up or whatever it need to be, okay? The value proposition needs to be the key there, okay? And then you said over 1,000.
Under 1,000.
Under 1,000. Sorry. Now, under 1,000, you know what your audience is there for in a way by under 1,000. You've got over your first 100, you'll be communicating and they'll be talking to you. Now, what you need to do then is truly dig into those 1,000 to find those loyal ones, the ones that continue to come back, the ones that can honestly give you feedback, not just praise you, honest feedback. The ones that go, dude, your audio is a bit loud. I can't see that. Your video is grainy. Okay. You said that too fast, Alan. You said that too loud, Alan. I liked it when you was talking about YouTube, but why are you talking about affiliate marketing on Amazon? That doesn't gel, okay? When you're under 1,000 subscribers, this is your best time. You don't realize it. This is your best time to experiment and learn and figure out what to do. This is your time to put up 10 videos in a week or 20 videos in a month and just throw it out there and see what works, okay? If all of a sudden vidIQ just decided, oh, we're going to do a cookery month, right? That's going to confuse people, right? If you're under 1,000 subscribers and they truly love you, you can pivot and learn and try and test and put out 5 or 6 videos in a series and see if that series worked. Well, no, that didn't. So try this angle, right? I still do it nowadays. I'm currently working my way through a transition slightly away through tutorials, and we're doing slightly more personal twists on my opinions of things, because I'm trying that for 10 or 12 videos. And then if that works, I'll step away and try again, right? The reason I can do that is because I'm established and people like the personality. Hopefully, that is me over time. So use the advantage of being under 1,000 subscribers to figure out who you are, what your channel truly is, and what your audience truly wants from you, right? Because then once it steers in our direction, once you hit 20, 30, 50, 100,000 subscribers, it will be very hard to pivot away from that over time. So enjoy the freedom you have right now, because that is your biggest asset. Get excited, talk about the thing that you love, and experiment with your audience, and then listen to their feedback.
I like that concept of having a smaller channel. And I mean, I want everybody listening to the show and coming to the VidIQ YouTube channel to know that, like, we do want to see you grow. Like, that is truly our mission. However, like, you can also use this time to your advantage and appreciate that, like Alan just said, you can experiment in that time. There's no penalties on YouTube for trying whatever you would like to try with your channel. And we're here to help guide you any way we can. But I like the positive spin on that, is what I'm trying to say. I do appreciate that. Well, unless we want to start a new segment called Rob's Rapid Fire Questions, because there's always something I miss before trying to wrap up the show, figured we'd give you one last plug. Rob, anything?
No, I'm a little gun-shy today. I can't think of any
rapid questions. So,
I've got hamsters and hot dogs and all that type of stuff in my head right now.
It's still searching.
Difficult to get away from it.
Alan, just one more time, where can everybody find you?
Okay. If you want blogs, around about 150 blogs teaching you every fine detail about YouTube, then it's alanspicer.com. If you want YouTube tutorials with my face on them, then it's youtube.com/AlanSpicer. And if you want to learn how I grew my crypto rookie channel from 0 to 7,000 subscribers in around about 3 months, that's where you can do it. youtube.com/AlanSpicer. And the crypto rookie channel is youtube.com/CryptoRookie, where you get to see me hopefully make money, but sometimes lose money in crypto in my journey as a true rookie, as I document it going through the course of this bull market.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's great to be here.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tube Talk, brought to you by VidIQ. Head over to vidIQ.com/tubetalk for today's show notes and previous episodes. Enjoy the rest of your video making day.